Okay, just before we get started here, if you're interested in following along with the hands-on section that we're going to be doing later on, then head out to this URL, smartoutput.com/madworld-2019, and there's an option there, syntax highlighter, something or other. Just go ahead and download that. It's going to download a zip file to your computer. Now, if you don't want to do that, if you want to just listen, that's totally fine. Within that zip file, you'll find a Flare project called Starting State, which is what we're going to be working in, and one called Ending State, which is where we're going to end up, right? So if you want to follow along, great. If not, that's totally fine. You got both projects in there that you can go look at after the fact. I can also share my notes with you if you want me to. You guys hear me okay? Like, seriously, I'm wondering if I'm losing my own hearing because I can't hear myself. So we'll get going here in just a couple, well, in just a minute. All right, well, it is 3 o'clock. Let's go ahead and get started. How's everybody doing? Are you like to brain full point yet? No more capacity to put stuff in? I know how that goes if you are at that point. So welcome to this session. This session is using a syntax highlighter in MadCap Flare. A syntax highlighter, as I explained in the intro session this morning, is a way to automatically go through and apply highlighting to code samples. Now, I learned about syntax highlighters the hard way. And let me tell you how the hard way is to learn about a syntax highlighter. So I've been full-time MadCap Flare trainer and consultant for 5 or 6 years. And I once got hired a while ago, this was years ago actually, to do a documentation project for somebody. This was actually not Flare specific, but we were doing it in Flare, and there were code samples. And the code samples that they provided me to put into Flare were highlighted. And I'll show you an example of what I mean here in just a minute. Well, I looked at that and I said, oh, I need to replicate that in Flare. So you can imagine what I did. I went through this code sample, which had all sorts of colors in it, nice spacing, and looked well, looked readable and all that. And I started creating custom span tags for every single color that I needed in this code sample. And then I went through and I started applying, literally in my source code, applying these span tags to things as, like this semicolon needed to be fuchsia, for example. So I'd go create a fuchsia class and apply it to the semicolon. And then these three letters needed to be green. And it took me forever to do this. And I build the output, we hand it back to the client, and he looks at this and he says, I'm looking at your code here. Where did all these span classes come from? I said, oh, I just defined them in the style sheet and then applied them. He said, what are you thinking? Why didn't you use a syntax highlighter? I said, what's that? And that's how I learned about syntax highlighters, where I don't have to go put the span tags in myself. There are tools out there that can do it for me and make it look way better than I could ever make it look trying to do it manually. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how do you put one of these into Flare? Super, super useful once they're working. So let's get into it. So this is me. That's how you get in touch with me if you want to. I'm always open for questions. If you want to email me, feel free to get in touch anytime. I'm happy to talk about anything you want to talk about. So as I have stated, a syntax highlighter is just basically automatically adding colors to code samples in HTML output. This does not work in PDF output. We're going to talk about PDF at the end, but what I'm going to show you does not work in PDF output, nor do I know a syntax highlighter that does, because in that case, you really do need to have span tags in your source code. So let's look at a very simple example. The top piece of code is not highlighted. The bottom one is. Very, very simple to understand what the concept is. Here's a little bit more complex piece of code. I know it's kind of hard to see, probably in the back. You don't need to see the code itself. As long as you can see the difference between the two, the left one is not highlighted, the right one is. Far more human readable, right? And even when you look at your code, like if you ever use the source code viewer in Flare to look at your HTML files or your CSS, Flare has a built-in syntax highlighter. It's not quite as robust as most others are, but it can highlight the syntax for you. And it's amazing when you turn that on and off how much less usable the code view becomes when you can't see, there's no visual indicator of colors right on there to see what you're looking at in the code. So that's all it is. And implementing it is actually kind of easy, as long as you get a few things in place. So how does it work in Flare? So on the left here, we've got a representation of an HTML document. I know it looks terrible. I'm not a designer. I'm a Flare person. But hopefully it looks good enough to be able to demonstrate how it actually works. So there are three key elements on this page that make the syntax highlighter work. The first is the CSS file up at the top. Now, I sometimes get a question. Do you have to have a completely separate CSS file for syntax highlighting? The answer is no. You can put the syntax highlighting code in your own CSS file if you want. I just don't recommend doing it. And when we get to actually implementing one, you'll see what I mean and how you could put that in your own CSS if you want. Of course, adding a CSS file does add one more round trip to the server, so it might slow your site down by a couple milliseconds, but I think it's worth the cost just for ease of maintenance. So that's the first thing up there at the top. Does this pointer work? Oh, look at that, it does. I don't know if you guys can see it, but it works. Then in your actual code, in the syntax highlighter we're going to be implementing, which is called PrismJS, which right now is the most popular one, it looks specifically for this construct. And this is a Python example. We could switch that language based on what language you're doing. It looks for the pre-tag, and it looks for the code tag within it. This is a little bit of a headache to build in Flare, so I'm going to teach you a shortcut on how to be able to get that stuff in there quickly with just a shortcut key, so you don't have to go type it in every single time. And it also needs a JavaScript file, which is represented here down at the bottom. What happens when a browser loads this page? The class on the code tag right here, this language Python, triggers the syntax highlighter.js file. And you can call this whatever you want. I just called it syntax highlighter. Ours is going to be called Prism. It triggers that file, and what that file does is it goes up into the section here that's inside your pre-tags, and it parses through your code sample and puts span tags in it for you. And the span tags that it puts in for you, the styles for those are all defined in the syntax highlighter.css file. And so they automatically get styled. And it's just basically a color, sometimes a background color, depending on what sort of highlighting you want to do. But that's just all defined in the CSS file. So all you have to do is put these two things in your topic or in your master page, and then just make sure that your code sample is properly marked up and is in your topic properly, and then when the browser loads the page, it works. That's all you have to do. It just works. If I do it right, which we're going to find out here in just a minute, if I'm going to do it right or not. So, and then, like I said, the browser renders the highlighted code sample. Okay, so that's all the slides I have. From here on out, I'm going to be working in Flare. Now, if you want to work alongside with me, like I said just a few minutes ago before the session started, if you want to be typing things in, clicking what I'm clicking, doing it, then go ahead to this URL. Something just fell. And download the class files. It's called Syntax Highlighter, and there's like a few boxes there, but you'll see it under the San Diego column. This will stay active till after this conference, so you can go download it. Within that zip file that will be downloaded, there's three things. There's two Flare projects and then this PowerPoint deck. The two Flare projects are, one of them is like Syntax Highlighter Starting Point or something. Is that what it says? Is anybody looking at it? Starting point, starting state. That's what we're going to be working in. So go ahead and start extracting that, the starting state. There's also an ending state project. And that's where we're ultimately going to end up. So if you don't want to follow along, you have both those projects. You can look at where we're going to start. You can look at where we're going to end up. You have that, and you can go compare the two. Any questions before we dive in and just move over to Flair and start working? Question? Sure. Yeah. We'll define what you do in your PDF output. Yeah, that's a great question. So her question is, what if you're doing both HTML and PDF output? Yes, we do need to account for PDF. All of us know, some of us would wish PDF would die. All of us know it's not happening, right? It doesn't appear to be going that way. Just look at the attendance of the PDF sessions at things like Mad World, right? So we are definitely going to talk about what do you do in PDF. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? Okay. If you have any other questions as we're going through this, feel free to stop me. I've tried to build it such that we have a little bit of elasticity and can handle questions along the way. If we do start slowing down too much, I might move us along so that we can finish, and then I'll be available for questions afterwards. Okay, so let me close that. I'm going to open up Flair, and tell me if you guys can see this okay on the screen. Neil, you can see it? Okay, if Neil can see it, then anybody can see it because he's in the back. Everybody okay with that? It's a bit of a pain for me to see, but I can live with it. So this is the starting state project that I have given you in the zip file that you downloaded. I have included in this project this code samples folder. This is here simply so that we have some code samples that we can work with in this demonstration. Most likely, you're not going to have code samples like this in your Flair project. These are just here for the ease of presentation. Usually code samples, you're out writing them on your own, or a developer sending them to you, and you have them in an email or a Word file or a text file like this or a JS file or who knows what. And so I just want to be clear that you do not need a code samples folder in your Flair project in order to do this. These are just here for ease of use. So we're going to use these three text files, and we're going to actually need to copy the content and put them in a topic later on. Okay, so the first thing we need to do when we implement the actual highlighter is we need to go get the JavaScript and the CSS file to make this work. And to do that, you actually don't do it in Flair. We're going to head out to a web browser. There are a number of code sample syntax highlighters. My preferred one is called PrismJS. And this seems to be the one that more and more people are using, is PrismJS. It's a fabulous syntax highlighter. It works really, really well. And this is the one that I have found works most consistently for me and my clients. So, if you're following along, head out to brismjs.com. If you're not following along, that's fine. Just take notes. If you want my notes after, let me know and I'll give you my notes. Now, PrismJS has a number of different themes, which you can see listed in these bubbles over here. And if you click one of these, if you scroll down on the page a little bit, this is an actual highlighted syntax, a highlighted code sample. And as you click through the different bubbles, the actual formatting changes. And so you could click through these and you could see which one you prefer. I tend to go with tomorrow night or with default, but it doesn't really matter. And on this page, you can just look at them and see which one, what you'd like your code samples to look like. Now, these are out-of-the-box themes. You can, of course, customize your theme. It's just a CSS file. And so you can go into the CSS file after it's downloaded, and you can make any adjustments to it that you want. I rarely do that. I've done that on one occasion for a client that was really picky about how they wanted them to look, and we needed to make some adjustments. But it's not usually needed. So I'm going to go with tomorrow night on this one just because it stands out and you can really see what's going on. Now what we need to do is come up here and push this download button. And we see the same themes over here. Tomorrow night is already pre-selected. But what we need to do at this point is we need to tell PrismJS what languages we want highlighted. There are dozens of them. You can see this huge list. And the more and more of these that we include in our syntax highlighter, the heavier and heavier the files become, the JavaScript and the CSS file. So you want to stick with only the languages that you're going to need. Now, in this demonstration, we're going to do JavaScript, we're going to do JSON, and we're going to do Python. So what I'm going to do here in this file builder, first of all, I've got tomorrow night selected. That's the theme that I want. You can also decide up here what compression level you want, development or minified. I would recommend choosing minified rather than the development version. This file removes all the white space out of the files, and so they run a little faster. I'm going to uncheck these, except for JavaScript, because in this demonstration we're doing JavaScript. So I'm going to check JavaScript. Tell me if I'm going too fast, for those of you who are following along. I'm also going to go check Python. And then I'm going to scroll down a little bit and select JSON. Those are the three that I'm going to choose. In your situation, you have more. You may need C, you may need C#, you may need Java. Who knows what you need? Curl. All kinds of things in here. But for this demonstration, that's all we're going to select. And then we're going to skip the plugins. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into any of those. But you can go look. Each one of these has its own documentation. For example, if you want line numbers, or if you want to be able to, there's one here, copy to clipboard button, those types of things that you can add. And down here at the bottom of the file now, this website has constructed my JavaScript file and my CSS file that I need. And I'm going to download these and put these right in my Flare project, which means I have to remember where I put my Flare project. So I'm going to click Download JS, and I think this is the one I'm working in, just called Starting State. And I'm going to navigate to my Flare project on my hard drive. And what I like to do in the content folder is just head up over here to the resources folder, and I'm going to create a whole new folder in here, and I'm going to call it Prism. You don't have to do this. You can put them wherever you want. This is what I do. It's just easiest for me. So in my actual resources folder of my Content Explorer, I'm going to save my prism.js file, and I'm also going to save my prism.css file. Save both of them. Now if I come back over here to Flare, here's my Prism folder, and there's the two files that I just saved from the PrismJS Syntax Highlighter website. Everybody with me so far? Any questions? Okay. So now I have the code in my project that I need to make this work. But I need to do more than just put these files, of course, in the project. I have to add them to my master page or to my topic. Now, I get the question sometimes, should I put these in my master page or should I put them in the topic file? It'll work either way. Really, the way to answer that question is, in my opinion, well, how many topics are you going to be using code samples in? If you've got, say, 200 topics and you've only got three of them that have code samples in them, you might consider putting them in these two files in the three topics rather than in the master page. Because, of course, if you put it in the master page, they get added to every single topic. Now, if you have a lot of topics that are going to be using it, then it's much easier to just put it in the master page. The only disadvantage of putting it in the master page is that for pages that don't actually have code that needs to be highlighted, it's just dead weight, right? The web server or the web browser is still going to go get the syntax highlighter files, the JavaScript file, and the CSS file, even though it doesn't need them. And I'm a person that likes to, I just don't like dead weight in my pages. So if I only have a tiny number, like a small percentage, I'm going to put them right in the topics rather than in the master page. Now, for this demonstration, we're putting it in the master page. But what we're about to, what you're about to see me do in the master page is exactly the same thing you would do in a topic, if you decide to put it in a topic. Either way, it's going to work. So let's open up this topic pages master page. Very simple master page. And what I need to do here is I need to link the Prism CSS file and the Prism JavaScript file. Put them right here in the master page so that they get included in my topics. So the first thing I'm going to do is come up here to the Home ribbon. And in my case, I need to click this Styles drop-down. In your case, if you have a bigger screen than I have, you might not need to click this drop-down. But right over here, there's a button called Style Sheet Links. So go ahead and click that. And on the left, you're going to see the style sheets that we have in the project. Now, my styles.css file is the default style sheet for my project. It's assigned at the target level. I don't need to assign it at the master page level or at the topic level because it's already in the target. Every single one of my topics is going to use that style sheet. But I do want to move the Prism style sheet over. So I'm going to select the, click the right button here to move my prism.css style sheet over and then just click OK. Now nothing happened, nothing visually happened over here in the XML editor view, but you can see over here in the in the code editor, it added a link up here to the style sheet. So this style sheet link will now be included in all of the topics that I build. So there's the style sheet. Now let's put in the JavaScript. So after the topic body proxy, it's recommended in most cases to put JavaScript files at the end of a topic. You definitely want to have it after your code samples, unless there's a some code in there. I can't remember if it is to, you know, to load the page before the JavaScript. But just to be safe, let's put it at the bottom of the file. And I'm going to come up here over to Insert this time. And all the way over on the right, there's an Insert Script. I'm going to click the Insert Script, select the language from the drop-down list. Don't really have to do this, but it's here. So I'm going to say JavaScript, and then I'm going to click Browse, and I'm going to go into my Resources Prism folder, and I'm going to select my prism.js file, and just click Open, and then Open again, and then it puts the link to the JavaScript file right here in my code. This one I do actually get a visual indicator. Now, I hate this paragraph, so I'm going to take it out. You can leave it in if you want, but I'm going to unbind it and remove that paragraph so I just have the script. You don't have to take it out. Okay, so now in our master page, we've got our Prism CSS file and our Prism JS file referenced in our master page so they can be added to our topics. Any questions so far? Awesome. Go ahead and save it. Now we can actually go start putting in our, okay. Let's open up our topic.htm file now. This is a blank topic. And now we're going to look at how do we actually put these things in, into our topics. And there are some gotchas here. And there's some things you need to be aware of. There's also some things you can do to make this faster. So as I mentioned before, in order for my topic to trigger my syntax highlighter, my prism.js file, it has to follow an exact syntax. We have to have pre-tags. There have to be code tags within it. And the code tag has to have a class with a language dash, you know, whatever your programming language is, attribute or that class. And we're going to look at that here in just a minute. The problem is if I want to come in here and I want to create that construct in my topic, with my style selector, I can select the pre-tag, but there's no way for me to put in the code tag in the interface, at least not that I know of. If somebody knows of one, let me know. Right? And so my only option here is to come type it in the code. Well, that seems like it could be the only option. I'm going to show you a way where you don't have to come type it in like this. Right? This is the construct I need in order for the syntax highlighter to work. And this is also how the HTML standard defines you're supposed to do code samples. So it's a good idea to follow it. But it's a massive waste of time if I have to come in and type in my code tags every single time. So what I want to share with you is a way to insert this using a shortcut key. We're going to go create a macro to do this. So I have already created a snippet with this construct in it. That's all that's in the snippet. You see it right here between the body tags. So I'm going to create a macro where I insert this snippet, and then I convert the snippet to text, and then I can assign a shortcut key to that macro and just use a shortcut key to put the code sample in from this point forward. So let me walk you through how to do that. I'm going to go delete this one first of all. This part isn't really syntax highlighting specific, but it's a really cool thing to know how to do if you've never done it before. So over here in the Tools tab, I'm going to click the Tools tab, and right over here on the right is the Macros section. I'm going to click Record, and I'm going to start recording a macro. And I'm going to call this, I think I already have one called Insert. I'll just call it Insert Code Sample. Name already in use. I'll just say Insert Code. Name it something that makes sense to you. And give it a name, and I'm going to start it. Now, with the recorder running, I'm going to come over here to Home. Excuse me, to Insert. I always lose where these are. I'm going to insert a snippet. So I'm going to click Insert Snippet. I'm going to select my code sample snippet file. It's in the Resources Snippets folder. Select that and click OK. It inserts the snippet for me. I'm then going to right-click the snippet and convert it to text. And then go back up to the Tools tab and stop the recording. Now I can come over here to this Manage button, and for this new macro, I can assign a shortcut key to it. And I'm going to go delete my previous one. So I'm going to select this macro, and I'm going to click Assign Shortcut. And for me, I'm just going to assign it Control 4. And click OK. So now, I'll go delete this one. When I want to insert a code sample, that code sample construct, all I have to do is press Control 4. And I don't have to go into any code or anything like that. I will need to go into the code, actually, because I have to specify a language. You see, that's blank right here. If all of your code samples are one language, then put that language in the snippet, and you won't ever have to go type anything in here. Or if you just have two or three languages, maybe you create two or three snippets, one for each language, and give them a shortcut key. In this case, I'm going to need to go type in whatever the programming language is, because I'm working in three. But that you don't have to do it this way. So that's a handy little tool to know how to create macros, especially if you want to do stuff that isn't supported in the Flare interface completely. All right, any questions? Okay. So let's start with JavaScript. So I'm just going to double-click this JavaScript file. And this is just raw JavaScript. And the code sample's javascript.txt file. The first thing I notice is, of course, there's no highlighting. I wouldn't expect there to be. There's also not very good spacing. Now, PrismJS will not do spacing. It only does highlighting. So it's not a bad idea to run code through a prettifier, is what they're called. And I'm going to do that in this case. We're not going to do it in the next two. But let me show you how I generally do this. So I'm just going to copy all this code. And there's a zillion different prettifiers out there. One of my favorites is FreeFormatter. FreeFormatter.com, not GreeFormatter. FreeFormatter.com. And I can come down here to this JavaScript beautifier. And I can just paste my code in there. And then I'm going to set my tab delimiter to 2 space per indent level. You can set this to whatever, it doesn't really matter, and beautify my JavaScript. And it adds spacing for me. It also added some highlighting for me, which is kind of nice, right? But this is much easier to read. I'm then going to copy this to the clipboard. Now, you don't have to do this step. If your spacing's all funny on your code sample, you might want to. But if somebody sends you a code sample that has good spacing, then don't bother doing this. Okay, so this code sample is now in my clipboard, and I'm ready to paste it in. Now, when you paste code samples in, you want to paste in the XML editor. At least that's where I have found the most success with these. So I'm going to put my cursor right within these two brackets here, which is inside the code block, and I'm going to paste it. And you'll see it lost everything. This is the next step here, the next key. Whoops, hold on, I didn't get it quite right. Let me put it back in there. Why is it not pasting? Is anyone else having trouble? Give me just a second. Hold on. There we go. Okay. So let me paste it in again. Sorry about that. I'm going to paste the code in, and it brings in a bunch of paragraphs on the paste, except for this very top one. Now what I want to do is on this little button down here at the bottom that shows up, I want to click it and change it to paste inline text rather than paragraphs. And you see that put everything in my pre-code block, just like what the syntax highlighter is looking for. Now I still need to come over here and specify the language, in my case, over here. So I'm just going to type in JavaScript, since that's what this one is. This is a JavaScript code sample. Again, if you set yours up differently, you may not have to type this in. If you set it up as part of your snippet and make it part of your macro, then it should work. All right, now we're going to test it. Let's go build the target and see what happens. This is the part where I either look cool or I look really stupid. We'll find out soon which one it is. Open it up, and there we go. It worked. So you see now in my output, it's not in my input, my source file, it's totally unhighlighted as you can see in my source file. But in my output file, because I have it properly constructed with the code, the pre-tag and the code tag and the class, and I've got the syntax.js or the prism.js file and the prism.css file, it automatically highlighted it for me. I don't have to do anything else. This is it. So let's go look at one more example. A couple more examples, actually. Let's go back to the Flare project. I'm just going to call this, JavaScript, just so I can keep myself straight here. And let's go down here, and let's say our next sample is going to be JSON, as an example. So here's my JSON sample. Same thing. I'm going to press Control 4, right, and put in my my syntax highlighter code construct. I'm going to go grab my code wherever it is. Might be in a Word document, might be an email, might be in a text file, wherever it is. I'm going to go grab it. In our case, it's just here in this folder since that's where I've put it. I'm going to copy that code, come back to my topic. Inside my code block, I'm going to paste it, and then I'm going to say paste as inline text, not as paragraphs. Way down here at the bottom, can you see that? It's hard to see. Yep. That's an extremely useful button to know, especially if you need to paste in a table, like from Word or Excel or something. By default, everything comes in as paragraphs. Okay, now I need to go specify my language, JSON, and let's save it, and let's give this one a try. So I'll jump over to my project organizer, and we're going to build the target. And we'll see how this works. So let's refresh this topic. And there's the JSON highlighted for me. So you can see how once this is set up, it's actually pretty easy to do. One more, which is the Python. Exact same set of steps. We're going to do a Python sample. I'll make this an H2. Control. Oops. What did I just push? hold on just a second. You guys still see my screen? Here we go. Control 4. Oh boy. Go grab my code sample. Python. Copy it. I'm happy with how it looks, so I'm not going to run it through any sort of formatter or prettifier. Paste it. There's a little button. Paste it as inline text. And then come over here and tell it what language it is. It's Python. Save it, and we'll build it and check it out. And there's our Python sample. Any questions? Okay. Well, maybe I'll answer some questions that I think you should ask. What if I want to change the format? What if I add a language? What if I didn't choose C? And somebody comes in and says we need C, or we need markup, you know, we need XML or we need CSS, then what? Right? Because remember, when I downloaded my Prism file, I only chose three languages. I chose JavaScript, Python, and the other one we needed, JSON. If I need more, or if I want to change the actual styling of my code samples, then I need to come back over here and select the new things that I need. For example, I could choose default if I wanted to change what they look like. And if I needed some other language, if I needed CSS or if I needed markup, I come over here and I select what it is that I need, and I re-download the files and put those in my Flare project. Now, I don't need to change anything else. I just need to replace those two files. And if I do that, then let's try it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to replace this file. That one won't matter actually, because but this one will, because if I remember right, I think I switched the I switched the theme. Okay, so I just replaced those two files. We're in uncharted territory here. I actually haven't tested this, but I think it should work. So let's build it, and let's see if the formatting actually changed from the dark to the lighter, to the default theme. So let's refresh the page, and it did. So I don't need to go change anything in the topics. I just need to replace, if I want to change the look, I just need to change out my CSS file, and if I need to add or remove a language that I'm highlighting, then I need the new JavaScript file too. So it's pretty easy to change the look and feel and the styling of this. What about converting existing code samples? Right? We've worked with all new code samples, but you guys probably have some code samples already that you need to go convert. And if you're like a lot of people, what you've done is created a div and given it a class of code sample, right? And you've got some styling in there. How do you go convert those? Well, there's a couple sessions here on regular expressions. And go to those sessions, and that will help you a lot, I think, in being able to run a search and replace to switch all of your code samples from div class code sample to actually pre and code tags. Now, I wouldn't recommend running any sort of regular expression search and replace like that unless you're using source control, because you could screw your files up in a place. I see some nods out there. Some painful experience in this one is it sounds like. So put it in Git or something, or TFS or whatever you use, so that if it fails, you can revert it and go back to your previous state. The only other way, without using regular expressions, is to just go through all your topics, literally one by one, and change them all. So it does take time to do this if you need to switch them all out, unless you know how to use regular expressions. We're not going to get into regular expressions in this class. Okay, there was a question at the beginning. Well, what about PDF? Because this does not work on PDF, right? Because this only works when the browser loads the page. If we look at this, if we look at the source for this, and start digging into this code sample, I didn't add any of these span classes in Flare. All of these were put in there by the JavaScript file, every single one of them. And so there's nothing in Flare that will trigger any sort of highlighting to work in PDF, because the PDF styling has to be applied at build time. It can't be applied after the fact like we can do with HTML. So there's not a good answer for PDF, but that doesn't mean that all is lost. So what I recommend doing is, let's jump back over to the Flare project here. In your style sheet, there's nothing stopping you from creating styles to make these look reasonable in your PDF output. I actually have a PDF target in here. We can build it, and you can see what they look like right now. They look pretty bad right now. I mean, they look just like they look pretty much in the XML editor here. And to me, this is not all that acceptable. Right? Might not be the end of the world, but we can definitely make them look better than this. So what we can do in our style sheet, and again, in this case, we don't ever really want to touch the Prism style sheet unless we're customizing how we want our HTML output to look for code samples. So that's not what we're going to be working in to make our PDF look better. We're going to be working in our regular style sheet, just styles.css. That's where we need to go. And we just come down here to the pre-selector, right? Everything is in a pre-tag. So we can come down here to the pre-selector, and then we can select our print medium. And we can add styles to this. Some of the styles that are fairly common are background color, usually like a light gray or something. Font family. Very common these days, from what I've seen, to use Consolus. I think that's how you say it, or whatever your default monospace is. Maybe some padding. I don't know, 10 points of padding to move the content actually in from the border of the box. And maybe a font size, maybe 8 points, or that might be too small, I'm not sure. Something like this. But you can see I can style my code samples without doing any styling in my HTML, and in fact, I want to avoid styling my pre and my code tags in this style sheet. I'm going to leave that all up to the Prism style sheet. So let's go rebuild that now, our PDF. I still have it open. Let's see if it should look a little better. Again, not as good as it's going to look in HTML, but we can make it look reasonable. You can at least make it look sort of like a code sample. I realize this is really narrow here, or not narrow, but small. You can't see it, but so you can do some things to make it look okay in PDF. It would be awesome if we could go ahead and have the highlights in PDF. That would be really, really, really great. But, you know, how are people going to use this anyway? They're probably going to open up your PDF and copy this, most likely, or maybe just find the one little thing they need. But if they copy it, they're going to put it into their own code editor, and it's going to be highlighted for them. Another thing I do like to do, down here I'm looking at my Python sample, how it breaks pages. I'm going to go back here and I'm going to set my page break inside property to avoid. So so that my code samples don't break pages. That's optional. This is all optional, of course. But that's going to keep the code sample from breaking the page, which I forgot to do the first time around. So that's how I'm going to handle PDFs, something like that. Does that help? Yeah, that helps? Okay, good. Any other questions? Sure. Nothing. You could do that. If you do that, what you're going to need to do in order for that... Okay, the question she asked, let me repeat the question. What's to stop you from generating the HTML output, going and grabbing the HTML output that gets generated that has all the span tags in it, and putting that back in your Flare source? Nothing could stop, would stop you from doing that. The only thing you need to pay attention to at that point is you probably need to come copy all of this Prism CSS stuff, all this, and put it in your regular style sheet so that it can be picked up. And in fact, if you do that, you don't even need your Prism CSS style sheet for your HTML output either. Now, I haven't done that before. I've never tried it, but I don't see a reason why it wouldn't work. So, good question. Good point. Yeah, excellent point, for sure. Another question? Uh-huh. Yeah, you can. If you know what you're doing, sounds like you do. It's a fairly complex JavaScript file. Well, this is going to open up Minified. But yeah, there's nothing stopping you from opening that JavaScript file, unminify it, so you can actually read it and working with it on your own. Of course, if you do that, then that's what you're stuck with, right? If you ever go back out to Prism or whatever and download a new one, your customizations are gone. So you just have to pay attention to that. But yeah, you could, I mean, if you're working with your own language. Now, if you really wanted to get fancy, you could go write up the code for your own language. Well, if it's in-house, you probably wouldn't do this, but you can contribute to this PrismJS project. It's just in GitHub. You could put your code in there, issue a pull request if you wanted to, and see if somebody else would want to use it. I've actually done that for the Prism documentation. I found a typo. And I went in and corrected it and issued a pull request to the GitHub repo, and they accepted it. So that's my one little contribution to Prism. So yeah, you can edit the JS file if you need to. Awesome. Any other questions? Okay, well, I hope your syntax highlighting is happy. I hope your customers like it. I know that the people I have worked with certainly do. A little bit of involved setup, but once you have the files in there, the macro setup, and you have some tools on how to go create the spacing that you want, even just a code editor like Visual Studio Code could do that for you. But once you have that all set up, it goes pretty smooth, pretty slick. And you just have to type your language in there like we did, and off you go. All right, thank you. I appreciate your time, everybody.